just 5 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Welcome into the whole show powered by PDC Energy as we start this week off on the 26th day of June. I'm excited about this week because after this week, then we can really set our focus on the football side of things with training camp coming in. And we're going to need some Broncos stuff very, very soon because, listen, the Rockies won the series somehow. Don't know how, but Saturday is still sticking out in my brain as, I mean, that's one of the worst losses ever, maybe the worst loss ever for the Colorado Rockies. They lose 25-1. It's not a typo. It's not a mistake. I sat down to watch this game. It was 2-0 Los Angeles at the top of the third, and then a home run and a home run and a home run and a walk and a base hit. Oh, and out. Oh, and a triple, a home run, whatever. And it was bad news bears, seriously, for the Colorado Rockies. I brought in my guy here to start us out because he's worked up. Tanner Schwint of Good Morning NoCo is worked up because on Twitter you're seeing, yeah, everybody's very, very vocal. Maybe those that don't really tweet about the Rockies. I might be one of them. And then suddenly you're tweeting out about the embarrassment that is this Colorado Rockies franchise right now, now 30-49, and saying, hey, Dick Montfort's got to sell this thing. Tanner comes in. Not happy with that take.
No, I'm not. And the reason why is that it's the Montforts are finally doing what we've been clamoring for quite a while, and that's to completely tear this thing all the way down and try and build from the base up. And when you do that, you're going to have bad losses. Now, should it ever be a 25-1 loss? No, not at all. But to see people who I would bet anything, haven't watched a single inning of Colorado Rockies baseball, who haven't figured out, okay, who is this guy that's playing, who haven't done any of their research, come in and just explode. They need to sell it. They need to. And they haven't watched anything about it, haven't followed along with anything about what the Rockies have done. They just want to jump in and pile on. I think it's moronic to see
but
some of these people jump in.
You're acting like this is not the same old thing every single year, Tanner. Every year we do this because they're bad at this point, and folks are like, he needs to sell it. Because, dude, you've been to the playoffs 5 times in your franchise. It's not good. And so when you see a loss like that, people want people to pay attention to the Rockies. Well, they are now when you see something like that, and not in the good way. So, I mean, they're just a bad baseball team. And, it's not just a bad baseball team. It's a bad franchise, and that starts with your ownership. And people are fed up with it. They're fed up with it being a laughingstock, even if they're not following the Rockies closely. They haven't had a reason to follow this team closely. They get guys they fall in love with, and they trade them away or whatever. Or they sign guys like Chris Bryant that they knew were hurt coming in, and they still sign them to a big deal. And you're saying, okay, they're doing the things that they're supposed to do. They're doing it by default, though. That doesn't necessarily make me sleep okay at night.
Well, the fact that they're doing it, I don't care how we got to this point, the fact that they are doing it is what matters. And they're doing it in a way where you saw, even in this series, you saw a guy in Ezekiel Tovar really shine. I mean, he had a fantastic series. You're seeing these young guys. Nolan Jones's numbers have been close to the Rookie of the Year numbers. So you've got these bright spots that you got to pay attention to. So it's when, you know, Jacksonville, when the Jaguars, when they're all the way down, and then you go get, Justin Lawrence or whatever, but the year going into it, you're completely tearing this team down and trying to reassemble it. You're going to have horrible losses, and that's exactly what they've had. And if you're looking to watch fun, competitive baseball, the Rockies aren't your team this year. They've overachieved the last couple of years, and now that they are completely starting to rebuild this, you're going to have moments where you're like, oof. That's not good. They've been starting 5 rookies at a time. That's unheard of in the MLB, to be starting 5 rookies in the starting lineup. It's unheard of. The pitching staff is horrible. It's not good. But Airman Marquez, right? He blows out his shoulder. You look at Tyler Kinley, who's still trying to recover from that bullpen. Daniel Bard's been a shell of himself that we saw last year. It's tough right now. It's bleak. But the Rockies just won a series against a playoff team. That's the fact of it. So for the people who just coming out of the woodworks, it's almost the cool thing to pile on right now on the Rockies. I get it's easy to do, but and the reason the people you need to give up on the Montfort selling this thing. They're not going to. You made a a great point last week. I don't remember what day it was, Brady, but he wants to keep this thing in the family. You can't blame him. Sterling Montfort's been coming up through the ranks out of the scouting division. Like, he started working on the grounds crew, and he's working his way up. Now, obviously, he's going to work his way up, no matter if he's good at it or not, in the organization, but Sterling's working his way up. He's not going to sell it. So it's a moot point trying to say sell the team. He's not going to.
And that's why our tight-knit brewing poll question of the day is, do you consider boycotting this team until something changes? Because it's not your... I agree. He's not going to sell it. But then you have to start saying, the only way you can force a sell is if you stop going to games. You stop purchasing Rockies merchandise. You stop watching the game so the ratings go down. Unfortunately, that's all we can think to do at this point, because every single year, you expect it. I thought the big thing last year was, I don't care who your general manager is, hire somebody that has not been in the organization. Get a fresh set of eyes. The Broncos did it. The Nuggets do it. And if it's going well, then sure, hire from within. Keep growing. But the Rockies, it's not been going well. And so you just hire another guy that's been involved with this team that's kind of going along with the same philosophy.
So I disagree with you on that, because I think Bill Schmidt, by making no moves this offseason, this was his goal. I truly believe in a weird way that his goal was to make room and not add any of those high priced
pieces. What
are they paying
so far?
It's a minimum deal. It's not very much at all. He got an exception, a veteran's exception, or whatever the hell they call it. He was going about it where, okay, I'm not going to go spend any more money. I'm not going to go try and just draw in the attraction of this big name guy who's not going to produce. I'm going to go the way that we've been going, and I'm going to let these young guys get a chance to play. And that's what we're seeing. The injury bug has hit the Rockies in a way that we haven't seen in a long time, including into the minor league system. Zach Veen, who was the number one overall draft pick a while back, who I cannot wait to see put on a Colorado Rockies jersey, he just had season-ending surgery as well. So they have hit this bug that has been horrible, but the boycott's not going to happen, because you get a nice Sunday afternoon, you get a nice Saturday Colorado night. I mean, the attendance on Sunday was something over north of 40,000 people. People are still going because they love the ballpark. They love going and taking in a ball game. It doesn't matter who it is. And if the Rockies win, that's just a little... those are the sprinkles on top of the Sunday.
And that's why the franchise will continue to tank, because the expectations for the Broncos, Nuggets, and Avalanche are win and will show up. Rockies, yeah... We can go there and play cornhole in the parking lot for a while. We can go up to the party deck and hang out and do that. Oh, there happens to be a game on. That's the thing, the difference in mentalities with this franchise. And I'm sorry, but Dick Monfort created that. He said, the venue is more important than the team. And that's what we've seen for year after year after year after year. And you don't see that with the rest of these organization.
Well, and I think the philosophy behind that, because Dick Monfort's not dumb. I don't care what your qualm with him is. He's not dumb. He's done a lot of great things in the community here in Northern Colorado. He's not dumb when it comes to this. I think his thought was, let's make money off of the ballpark and reinvest in the team. He's willing to spend money. Like, I don't understand that. He is willing to spend money. Now, where he's been placing that money has not been in the best interest of the ball team. I completely agree with you on that. That contract that Ryan McMahon got was way too high, and they did it way too early. I think the same thing with Airman Marquez. I think they gave him too much money too early. He's loyal to a fault, and that's what you've seen. But it's just we've got so many casual baseball fans here in the state of Colorado that it's insane. I mean, they're not a talking point until the team starts off, and then you see opening day, the Rockies have been eliminated from playoff contention. I just get tired of the same old BS.
Same old BS the Rockies deliver every single year.
But at least watch the team. See what they're doing. Understand the guys that are up there and what the future looks like. The Rockies, on a national scale, have one of the best young talented group in all of baseball. Like, their rankings of their scouts, of the scouts across the league and what they've got in the minor league system is in the top 10. It's there, but people don't know that. If you ask the Camden person...
Why would I watch them if they're not good? Like, you're saying,
they're getting there. It's a bunch of rookies.
Oh my gosh, they're not getting
there. It's a bunch of rookies. 100% they are. These guys are going to be talented.
100% the Rockies are getting there. They're 30-49.
Not this year, Brady. It's not this year. They're going to be horrible the rest of this year. But seeing the developmental stages of these young guys is what you need to be looking for. Those flashes that you're going to see from those young guys is what you're going to... Trading Mike Moustakas and getting Michael Tolia back up to take more reps in the live MLB game is what the Rockies are doing this year.
I'm hearing all your stuff about the youth and, you know, they're doing things that what we want them to do. I think the frustration comes is that they haven't told us, the fans, that this is what we're doing.
No, they
won't.
We're
playing our young guys because we want to build for it, not we're playing all these young guys because everyone is injured.
No, and they won't. And that's a big flaw with the Colorado Rockies. They won't. But why one loss, and I get it was a historic loss.
It's not just the one loss. They were terrible before that loss.
But did you hear anybody coming out saying, Dick Monfort? No, it got cool for them to jump on there and say, hey, this was horrible, this and that. Yes, the team is horrible about talking to their fans. That goes all the way back to Dick Monfort having one too many and saying maybe Colorado doesn't deserve a team.
That's what I'm saying.
They're horrible at that point.
Okay. So you're saying, okay, they're on their way, they're going to fix this, and the young guys are there. What have they done in their history to make you believe that, to trust them?
Because they actually did the right things when it comes to the draft picks and getting the young guys in place. Ezekiel Tovar is the real deal. Brenton Doyle will be the starting center fielder for the Rockies for years to come. Like, the young guys are making they're finally breaking through, and it's going to be growing pains. That's what we're seeing right now. But here's the thing with most teams, they rebuild after, you know, they lose a legendary piece. Like, with the Broncos, they lose Peyton Manning. Okay, now we know we're going into a rebuilding. They never reached that level where they were making the playoffs or whatever to say, okay, clearly they're going to have to rebuild here. They never reached that, and they're starting a rebuilding process without coming out and saying, hey, we're in a rebuilding process, and that is one of the flaws with the Rockies.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, you talk about all this youth, and I know I give you crap about it, but what's to say these guys want to re-sign here? If they're as good as you're saying, why would they re-sign in Colorado when they can go elsewhere?
And that's where Dick Monfort's going to have to open up that pocketbook. That's where it's really going to be telling. But what I think the Rockies have in their advantage for the first time in a long time is that they're going to watch these guys grow from nothing, and you're going to say, okay, let's go here. The Ellerys Montero trial that we've run, that was a guy that was touted as he was going to be good, and he's got power that is just ridiculous power. That experiment has failed, so he will not be getting that contract. So they're going to see the proof right in front of them while they come up, instead of having to go out and say, okay, let's add this piece, let's spend too much money on a guy like Chris Bryant. The Chris Bryant signing was horrible. It was absolutely horrible. It was, hey, look, we're not afraid to spend money, and they bring in a guy like Chris Bryant who, again, has extremely underperformed with the contract.
And he's injured all the time, and they knew that going into it, and that's where I'm saying, where's your trust level for, oh, Dick Mont, they're on their way. I don't trust this organization, man.
My trust level is that they're all on rookie contracts. They're all on rookie deals. And even when it is time for that first signing, you know, are they going to be at the level where they're going to be demanding where, okay, they're obviously going to be a Dodger or they're obviously going to be a Yankee? Because there's a handful of people in the MLB. You know, Shohei Ohtani is going to be either a Dodger or a Yankee. That's plain and simple. I don't think these guys are going to be there at this point.
Aaron says, texting in on our First Advantage text line, I think the only way a boycott on the Rockies sways a sale of the team would be if the visiting fans stop showing up. And, I mean, that's another thing, too, is there's a lot of transplants or fans of other teams that live in the state of Colorado that keep Dick Monfort's checkbook still rolling.
Yeah, it 100% is. And for us diehard Rockies fans, it's annoying as hell. It's annoying as hell. Now, do I blame people for showing up to watch Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout play this weekend? Not at all, because those are two of the best players we've seen in baseball in the last 20, 30 years. So I don't blame them for that. But is it annoying when the Cardinals come to town and it's mostly Cardinals fans? 100% it is. And I think that there's blame on both us as fans and on the ownership. I think that there is a true there's truly guilty. Both parties are guilty on some parts.
I just don't see it that way. I don't see it that way with the fans. Like, I had this argument years ago about the football scene in Northern Colorado, about how you need to get out and support the UNC Bears and go to CSU games. And I've always stood by this. There's too much to do in the state to go out and put up with crap. It's sports at the end of the day. It's not something we have to do. We have decisions. So you're kind of doing the reverse bandwagon thing. Like, people like me get mad. I don't even get mad anymore. Where it's like, oh, nobody's watching the Nuggets. Oh, suddenly they're in the playoffs and everybody's a Nuggets fan. You're kind of like, the Rockies suck, but then they suck really bad on Saturday, I want everybody to be paying attention to the sucky team before so they're not just talking about them on Saturday.
Well, just as long as you know what you're talking about when you're coming out and talking about it. But the uninformed takes was ridiculous. Because it's one thing to jump on a bandwagon and go, yay, team, yay, Colorado. I don't have a problem with that. It's another to jump in when you haven't watched anything about what's going on and say, oh, my God, they need to sell everything without knowing what and where the Rockies
have.
Would you
vote, if Dick Monfort asked for a vote today, should I sell the team, would you vote yes or no?
I would probably vote yes.
Yeah, so there you go.
I would.
That's what they're wanting. They want him to sell the team.
But know why you're saying it. Don't just jump in because it's the cool thing to do. Don't just do that. Know what's going on. And and maybe it's just false hopes. And I said I've got a horrible love-hate relationship with the Rockies. They always text me late at night, you up? And I always respond. And I shouldn't. But I can see a future where the Rockies are good. I really can. And it starts with those young core pieces that you're seeing play. And some of those guys are going to have horrible nights. And they did against the Los Angeles Angels. When you look at nobody could name the pitchers that came in that game. Nobody who was tweeting out saying Dick Monfort needs to sell. Nobody could name them. And that's the issue because they are young.
I don't think that should make you mad.
100% does, because know where these guys are coming from. Know what their level of experience is. Matt Carasetti, when he's in there, is going to give up runs. Noah Davis, as much as we love Noah Davis, is going to give up runs.
Why are we watching? Why do we have to watch?
So don't come in and say they need to sell it. Come in and be that critical, because if you haven't been paying attention to this rebuild, I said this on Good Morning NoCo the other day. If you're expecting winning baseball right now and that's what you want to see, tune out of the Rockies for the next 2 years.
Nobody's expecting winning baseball.
They haven't
expected winning baseball in years, and they got a. You mentioned young talent. I'll give you Trevor Story, DJ LeMahieu, Nolan Arenado. They had a core. That core is gone. So what makes you think that this core, we're rebuilding, we're going to have that core again? They can't sustain it. They just can't. They gave Nolan the contract, somehow pissed him off. They got pissed at each other, and then he's gone. Trevor Story's gone. DJ LeMahieu was offered the same amount with the Rockies but goes to the Yankees. That's what's going to happen time and time again until Dick Monfort changes his philosophy. And right now, I have no belief in this team. I don't fault fans of the Rockies for boycotting them with their eyeballs, because this is the same old song and dance every single year.
I think this year is genuinely different because they have stripped it all the way down. This is as low of a point as you're going to see in Colorado Rockies baseball, because you have so many five rookies starting night in and night out. This is as bad as it's going to get. And even right now where they're at, you know, we're about halfway through the season. They're just a game or two back of their projected win totals. So it's not like they're underperforming. They're performing where everybody thought they were going to. We just got so used to the Rockies outperforming their projected win-loss, and they are one of the best in the league at overperforming on that this year is a little bit of a surprise. But it also annoys me they have one horrible loss. You look at the College World Series yesterday where you had LSU and Florida. It's a 24-4 ball game, and now they're going to come back and play again. That is the beauty of baseball. You get blown out 25-1, you come back the next day, and you beat the Angels 4-3. You just won a series against a playoff team with two of the best players in the world. You won the series. The Rockies just won the series. And everyone's talking about Saturday, and I get it. It was atrocious.
Historically
it was
bad.
Horrible.
Historically bad.
But they won the series.
If the Broncos lost 52-3 and then came back and won the next week, does that suddenly make, this team's on the up and up? Here
well, they
we
did,
go.
But they fired their coach, right? I mean, what was that Rams game on Christmas? You know,
that was the worst it got, and it changes were made.
Right. And Bud Black will not be the manager of this team next year. I firmly believe he will not be, because he's got a tendency to stay away from the young guys. And this team needs a manager right now that can go with the young guys and say, we're going to have growing pains, but we're going to develop this talent, and we're not going to make the same mistakes that we made. Nolan Arenado is such a diva. I almost guarantee he's going to request a trade out of St. Louis now that they're in the basement of the NL Central. I mean, it's not all the Rockies' fault on the Arenado. Now with McMahon, when he's coming back to you and saying, hey, the Yankees are offering $27 million, you got to go out there, and yeah, you've got to up that. So there were mistakes made. I'm going to bet that they don't make those mistakes again.
Tight Knit Brewing poll question of the day. Would you consider boycotting the Rockies until a change is made in ownership? 56% of the hooligans say yes, 30% say consider, I'm already boycotting the Rockies, and 13% say no.
Yeah, it's going to be that way, but the stats don't lie, and the number of ticket sales don't lie.
All right, I don't have the fact checker here, but Aaron texting in, the Rockies have ranked last in minor league development the last few years, and the Rockies don't show a great aptitude for development either. And that's what I'm saying, we don't have the trust. During the Nuggets playoff series, when we were saying, okay, have they given you reason to believe that they can coast the last 20 games when we were all freaking out? No, they didn't give us a reason to believe. Well, they went out and won a championship.
Right.
Now we trust them. So next year, when the last 20 games or so come in and Joker's playing half the minutes or whatever, we're going to go, well, it worked before. The Rockies don't have the well it worked before.
Right. And because they've never torn it down like this. And Aaron is wrong in that text. They have not ranked in the bottom in terms of the actual players that they have in the minor leagues. They're actually towards the top of what's going on. They've been top 10 with Zach
Veen. How is that possible?
Because the young guys that they've been drafting are actually showing the talent that they've got. Ezekiel Tovar has been touted for a long time.
So then why isn't that translating
to wins? Oh, because they're not there yet. That jump from AAA to the majors is that big still. So you're going to see the flashes of Tovar tripling in Saturday's game, the home run he hit yesterday, and then you're going to see him go cold again.
And just forgive me if I don't, I'm not going to get excited because we saw that with Nolan Arenado and it still didn't really do much.
Got him into the playoffs twice.
Yes, and that was right around that time with DJ, Trevor, and Nolan. And you had a handful of other guys that slipped through your grasp after that.
Yeah. Mistakes were made. I'm not defending the mistakes that were made with that core. Because you look at that core and what they're doing now. Yeah, that would have been. Although Trevor Story, letting him go may have been the best thing because he has been absolutely atrocious and injured ever since then. So I think that's a good point to be made on the Monfort's behalf, is that they really did dodge a bullet in giving Trevor Story a long-term contract.
Tanner, Dixon texting in here again, the First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Tanner, when the owner basically comes out and says, we will never pay the money it takes to win, what are you supposed to do? He got pissy at the Padres. I don't like the way they do. The things that he says and the things that he does lead me to know. I have zero trust in Dick Monfort.
But that's the approach that we've always said, right? That we need the minor league system to be good. The minor league system's good. This is the growing pains. And you look at it, the MLB's kind of the same way as the NBA in this, is if you go out and spend all that money, it's not guaranteed success. Look at the Padres and what they've done. They have not been a good baseball team this year, and they've got one of the highest, if not the highest, payroll in all of baseball.
Code's the weather guy. So explain the 07 World Series season. Was that just an absolute fluke? What was different that year? I am one of those guys.
Yeah, you are.
I'm not going to sit here and say it's a fluke, but that was historic.
Right.
That's not going to happen again. The Rockies aren't going to win, what was it, 21 out of 22? It's just not going to happen. That doesn't happen very often.
No.
And yeah, they were better then. They had a team that was capable of maybe creating some noise at that point, but then it went away.
Well,
and that's my thing, the follow-up, the building off of the guys that got you there. That's what we've seen with Dick Monfort in this franchise over the years, is even when they give us that little nugget of positivity, it goes away pretty quickly.
Well, and that the way that team was built is the way that I think the Rockies do need to build it, too. You've got mediocre to above average pitching. You've got a great, you got a couple of great arms out of the bullpen. And then you've got guys that absolutely smack the ball. You got Todd Helton, who was hitting at an unbelievable clip, not necessarily in the power stats, but then you've got Matt Holliday. You've got those guys out there. Brad Hopp, who had a couple of phenomenal years with the Rockies. You've got the guys that can hit the ball out. And now I see a little bit of that with this Rockies team. I could be dead wrong. In a couple of years, we can come back to this conversation and say, boy, that was the dumbest thing you've ever said, Tanner. Or I could be right on this, and I think the Rockies could be competing for a playoff spot in a couple of years.
I just think the trust factor is absolutely gone, and nothing leads me to really believe that anything under Dick Monfort is going to consistently yield a good baseball team.
Yeah, and you guys are probably, I mean, you've got every reason to, but this is just me looking at it from what I've seen with the Rockies and what they've done in the past compared to what they're doing now. I think they're actually on the right track, finally.
Dixon says Tovar will be the next to go. You can count on it.
No, that's, I don't think that's going to happen. I don't.
Angel, let's get to the good, the bad, the ugly, presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more on FMS Bank, check them out online at fmsbank.com/KFK. Okay, I'll give you that. Angel's trying to help me out, you know, and see the positives and things, so I'll give you the good. Somehow, after the sideshow that was on Saturday, the Rockies won the series. What's your little history stat there? It's the first time?
First time since 1897 that a team lost the run differential by 20 runs and still won the series. They were outscored.
I don't even know if I'm happy about that.
They were still out. They were outscored 32-12 in the series and won it.
Oh my goodness, that's just silly stuff. Mike Moustakas, I like him. That's my bad. They traded him, but I bet he was like, oh, "Thank God, I'm out of here. Most embarrassing loss ever, and I can take this jersey off, and I never have to put it on again."
That should be the good, Brady, that, is that they made that move so that they can get Michael Tolley out
there.
I
just like his last name,
Moustakas Moose.
I like it.
I was really upset. That's a prime example. Again, I like Bill Schmidt doing this, taking the decision out of Bud Black's hand and saying, "No, you're going to play Michael Tolley and Nolan Jones at first base." I actually loved the move they made.
The ugly is, yes, historic loss for the Rockies.
They are the good, the bad, and the ugly all wrapped up into one.
Rockies record, most runs in an inning, 13 against them. That was the most. And this was second for most runs in a game they've ever given up.
Yeah.
So
it was ugly.
No, but they'll be fine. They're on their way.
In a couple years. Listen, just tune out for the summer. Tune out for the summer. You're starting to see it next year.
You don't want them to tune out. You say, go watch this garbage.
If you're
so going to
criticize it, you stay locked in.
You and I both know that's not how it works.
No, I know, but it should be.
No.
As much crap as I give you of not paying attention to the Rockies, you pay a lot more attention.
I watch the games.
You pay a lot more attention than a lot of the people I saw tweeting out there.
I watch the games. I'm just not invested. I'm invested for the show, but I'm not deeply invested in this team.
I envy that about you. Yeah. I wish I wasn't.
31 minutes after the Tanner, I feel for you, man. Maybe, who knows? I hope.
I think I'm right.
When I sit down and watch a Rockies game, I'm not hoping for the opposing team to win.
I appreciate that about you.
But I will say, my old rule over sports radio is either you're really good or you're really bad. That gives me something to talk about. The middle factor, it's boring. That's boring. 32 minutes after the hour. Let's take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Thank you, Tanner.
Of course.
Go, just try to cheer up a little bit.
Oh, I'm good, man. A couple years, yeah. There's going to be another parade coming to Denver.
Oh, my gosh, Tanner. I haven't laughed like that in a long time. We'll be right back.
Catch KFKA's own Jerry Schimmel back on the call for the Colorado Rockies on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is your UNC Bears head men's basketball coach, Steve Smiley, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA. Go Bears.
37 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Do want to shout out to Brian Gary, Tanner Schwint, Rodeo Radio. If you hadn't had a chance to listen to that, the guys are having a blast out at the Greeley Stampede, and they'll be back at it tonight at 7 o'clock. So they had the weekend shift, and they are burning the candle at both ends, and I absolutely love it. It's entertaining. And I'm not even a big rodeo guy, but it's entertaining for me to listen in. So shout out to them. I got to throw Tanner a bone. He does a great job of defending his team. He's just wrong on this. Dixon's right. He's like, name a player the Rockies that have really held on to that made sense. And he said, don't you dare say Charlie Blackmon. And I'm a Charlie. I like Charlie, you know, but it's just, Angel and I were talking about this during the break. The Nuggets have had a history well before they won a title. This is why I was joking, man, when I got on Facebook and I was like, man, I remember the 90s when they won like 11 games. And people are, dude, I remember the 80s. And like, the 80s, that was a great time for the Nuggets. They had Alex English and Dan Issel and David Thompson. They had some great teams. They had a Western Conference Finals team. They had the Dikembe Mutombo years. You know, it was only, what, 4 or 5 years? But they pull off an upset, an 8 seed beating a 1 seed. Then they had the Carmelo years. They had stretches of at least being a relevant franchise where you had a little trust that they could rebuild and come back and do something. The Avs, of course, have had such a very rich history. The Broncos, and I know the last 7 years have been very rough, but before then, their history of getting back and Pat Bowlen making decisions on guys and trying to recharge and all that stuff, they've had a good history of that too. So the Rockies don't have that. They don't have that history, and they do have an owner that comes out with bizarre things that he says, bizarre expectations. The expectations for the Rockies, according to Dick Monfort, were to be a 500 team. That's not a rebuilding team. That's not a tear everything down to the studs team. That's a, oh, we think guys like Chris Bryant and our contract with Ryan McMahon, like those guys can hold us afloat as the young guys maybe grow, and we're a 500 team, and then next year we're a playoff team. This is a team that by default you are saying you're in a rebuild, but you're not even really coming out and saying that. So it is there. I have zero trust that Dick Monfort, while he's in charge, anything's going to change. And I know that you've got Schmidt there and he's running the show as far as the GM, but it's still Dick Monfort hiring these guys and keeping guys involved with this team and this franchise. There's no history of I suppose a reason for me to trust this organization right now. I watched the games. I sat down Saturday night. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to watch some Rockies baseball. A little Shohei Ohtani, too. And I'm like, oh, it's 2-0. Top of the third. Angels are up. Okay. Pitch. Home run. Home run. Home run. And I'm like, whew. It's 5-0. And the next thing you know, it's 13-0. And it just kept getting worse from there. To the point where by the fifth or sixth inning, I'm still watching this, but I'm watching to see how bad it's going to get. And yes, there is a part of me that wonders, should you just go ahead and lose 100 games? And then maybe we'll really start to talk about it. I don't know. 40 minutes after the hour, Blake Olson's going to join us in just a moment, the voice of the UNC Bears. But first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hi, I'm Darren Dunn, Director of Athletics at the University of Northern Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show, 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. And joining me now on our First Advantage Hotline, the voice of the UNC Bears, Blake Olson. And I'm getting excited about this team and hopeful for a new culture with Ed Lamb and company. Wanted to get Blake on, talk a little bit about that as the Bears had a UNC camp over the weekend. And you're hearing a little buzz about this program. Blake, my man, how are we?
All right. How are you doing? Happy June. Happy National Family Month. I love this month. I love the weather. I love Colorado in the summertime. It's beautiful.
It absolutely is, man. Well, I didn't know that. Happy Family Month to you, my friend. That's great.
Well, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. I know you appreciate it and you take it in. And, you know, when you think of this month, you think of getting together with as many relatives as you can, taking advantage of it, and barbecuing and grilling and all that stuff. So we're trying to do that. So hopefully you've partook, or however you say that.
Yeah, it is fine. All right, Blake.
And then you get ready for Independence Day. But yeah, that camp was incredible. They've had three or four camps, and they continue to have the high school team camps and whatever. But the one you were alluding to last week was amazing, Brady, because there were over 550 high school football players there from, you know, generally Colorado, but there were some Texas players there and some Utah players, and most of them related to current UNC players. But the fact that there were 550 juniors or seniors at this camp and some really good football players tells you a lot about the coaches from the state of Colorado who recommend their players and their student athletes going to Greeley and UNC and checking out, you know, Coach Lamb and taking advantage of the fact that they had RMAC coaches there. They had three Division I programs there, including Nevada. I believe BYU was there. I didn't see the individual in person, but from what I understand, BYU was there, and I think Washington State may have had a representation, but
man, they, you know, a lot of kids, they tried to get a look from all these coaches and scouts, and it is, you know, there's definitely a buzz around UNC's program. I agree with you.
Well, and that's, you know, when you talk about getting all these high schoolers involved and throughout the state too, that's what I've always really envisioned or wanted for this team was, okay, we know it's a struggle right now. The Bears just haven't really put together a string of good seasons. I think under Ernest, you know, they won six twice, and outside of that, it's been tough. So I've always said, man, build throughout the state, get a lot of these kids coming out, then you can start to build some excitement with their families coming out and watching these games. You make that environment a little bit more special, and then you make it a more attractive place to play. As far as all that goes, Blake, I mean, just from what you've seen, seeing guys work out, I know you can only see so much, but going back to the spring game too, how are you feeling about this team as far as the culture and just everything kind of surrounding what Ed Lamb's bringing to the table?
Well, yeah, I mean, we could talk for hours about this, honestly, because to me it's fascinating with football, but culture is a huge deal. It's a big deal to every coach, I would imagine, and it's the buzzword. I understand that. But when you have a guy like Micah Simon, who is the receivers coach, and he comes in on day one, and you can tell that his goal is to make this a positive culture, winning culture, and one that guys want to buy into and basically leave it all on the field for the school and the program. When you see a guy like him and as positive as he talks about Colorado and the high school programs and why, we shouldn't be in a situation where we're searching for football players in other states because we have 6 million people up and down the Front Range and beyond. Even in the areas where you grew up, you know, there are players out there. We know that. And UNC is a great fit for them. I mean, CU is not going to be a great fit for Colorado players in the future, in my opinion. From what I've been able to look at so far, and that's really no surprise. But I think UNC is going to be a great landing spot for great local talent. The culture is very professional. There's a lot of pride in the sense that, hey, we're representing the university in the football program, and it is about wins and losses, yes, in the end, but at the same time, we're going to represent our football program in the best way possible. Not that they didn't do that before, but that is a priority. So I love the culture. I love, what they're setting out to do in making it a place where these guys understand, hey, if you know, you earn your spot and you're the best player, you're going to be playing, and at the same time you have a career that's 4 years and you may want to stick around here because good things are going to happen. And that's one of the things that I notice about Lamb, Brady, more than anything else, is I think it's really important to him to leave a legacy. He coached and played a couple of times. He coached at BYU, of course. He had a couple of stops. But he was also the head coach at Southern Utah. And to me, that kind of jumps out more than anything else. He loved the fact that he was able to leave a legacy at Southern Utah. And I'm not so sure, you know, you can say that when you're the assistant head coach at BYU and an assistant. Yes, you played there. You have a great run. You have roots there and everything. You were recruited from California. But the Southern Utah experience continues to kind of come up to the top. And that's a great thing for Bears fans, I think. If your coach really cares about leaving a legacy, whether it's 20 years from now, 30 years from now, 5 years from now, he wants this to be special. And I think that's great for UNC fans and football fans in our area.
No question about it. Blake Olson joining me. Blake, I got about a minute. Offensively, obviously this was still a shock. I don't know what the expectations were last year for this team. But, you know, you bring in Dylan McCaffrey over the last couple of years, you're thinking, okay, offensively this could be pretty good. But they were, you know, they were at the bottom pretty much in every category there. What do you think? You look at a guy like Jacob Sermon, you look at this offense. Do you see a big improvement from last year to this year?
I think there will be. Sermon is talented. We all know that. He could have started. I mean, it was a push every week with Ian McCaffrey, but he's coachable, he's humble, and he has all the skills, all the talent, can play, you know, this game, as Coach Lamb says, for many years to come, whether it's in the NFL or elsewhere. He's going to make money playing football. And I think the offense will look a little different, maybe a little more dynamic from what I could tell. The offensive line, there are a few concerns there. For me, at center is still kind of concerning. But they'll figure that out by the season, by the time they kick it off. But, you know, I know you only have a few seconds, but they've moved, which is surprising to me. They've moved a lot of four or five offensive linemen to the defensive line and the defensive line to the offensive line. And so you're looking at an offensive line that's probably going to be averaging over 300 pounds, as opposed to last year and the year before, I think at like maybe 275, 280. So they're going to be a bigger offensive line. And there's a guy named Micah Nanning who I've watched for a couple of years now, and he's from the metro area. He's going to be on the offensive line now. So I was very interested in that fact, and it's going to look a little different. And I think Jacob Sermon will be the great anchor of that at quarterback. I mean, he has the hose, and he's a leader, man. And I think it's going to be exciting. Once they figure out the running back situation, David Afari will probably be number one, you know, but they have five running backs they can plug in there. So, I'm excited about this team. I really am, and the direction that they're going.
Well, Blake, I've loved your updates and your commitment to the coverage of the UNC Bears, folks. Check him out on Twitter, at Blake Olson 1, the number one there, at Blake Olson 1. Blake, my man, hey, we'll see you later this afternoon, okay?
All right, buddy. I'll send the kids over to mow your lawn.
Hey, I need it done, man. I need it done. All right, my friend.
All right, buddy.
Appreciate you.
See
you. Blake Olson, the voice of the Bears, 11:53 the time. Let's take a quick break. We'll finish up hour number one. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
We're giving Coach Speak a whole new meaning. Hear Coach Speak weekdays 10 to 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the show. It's The Hull Show powered by PDC Energy. I want to talk a little bit about UNC on the other side, too. Just what those expectations were. I mean, Angel, you were going to school at the time whenever we heard the news of Dylan McCaffrey transferring from Michigan to UNC. And at that time, that was considered the best transfer in UNC's history. I mean, just based on the name and, you know, what he was coming out of high school and everything, and where he was playing college football. So all of those things are just interesting when you look at turning the page here and what those expectations were. Also, more on the Rockies. We'll get into that. The Nuggets, some Broncos stuff for you, too. It's The Hull Show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.